Here this morning, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We've been dealing last week with the marriage feast of the Lamb. The marriage feast of the Lamb. But here this morning, I want to preach to you on a chaste bride. A chaste bride. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Reading from verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtility, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Let's pray here this morning. Father, we pray in faith in Jesus' name, knowing that you're a God who hears us, you're a God who answers. And Father, even on this Father's Day, we do acknowledge you as the Father of us, Lord God, that we have been birthed by your Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, through a revelation of your Son. And we're so glad for your love, Lord God, that you so loved us as our Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son to die on the cross. And Lord God, that you are desiring a bride to be brought forth out of this city, Lord God, out of this nation for your Son. We love you as our Heavenly Father. We acknowledge you. We bless you. We give you glory and honor and praise. You are the source, Lord God, the originator of all things. In Jesus' name, amen. My message, a chaste bride, a chaste bride. Paul the Apostle, as he writes to the church at Corinth, look how he opens this letter, or how he opens this chapter as he writes this letter in verse 1. He says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. This is a man who's been thrown in prison for following Christ and for preaching about Jesus. He is a man who's been beaten. He's a man who's been less stoned. He's a man who suffered many terrible things. He is a man who has a back that is scarred with the marks of having simply lived as a real Christian. He is a serious man. He's a man who walks about with a sense of eternity all the time. He is awareness that every time he meets someone, either they're going to spend eternity in hell, or they're going to be saved, redeemed, and spend eternity with Christ. They're going to do one or the other. It's not a like man you're speaking to. He's no fool. He's no game player. You don't go and sit with Paul to have a bit of banter. Let's go to Paul's house. We can have a laugh and a chat for 3 hours. He makes me laugh. Saints, it is terrible if as a Christian you want to be with someone because they make you laugh, or you want to go to their house because it's so enjoyable. You know, the Bible actually says it's better to go to a funeral where you're going to cry and there's mourning than to go to the house of laughter. And if you haven't learned that yet, you don't know your Bible. You see, Paul wasn't a light person. And yet look how he begins here. He says, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly. The word folly means my foolishness, my silliness. Can you imagine this apostle, and he's writing them and he's saying, look, I want you to bear with me in my foolishness. Just let me be foolish here for a little time, and I want you to bear with me. The word bear with me means tolerate me. Put up with me. Stand there, even though you're yawning, or you go, oh man, just stand there and listen to me for a little bit. Although you said, oh, we know all this. Well, just stand there and listen to me. Just tolerate me. Put up with me a little bit. While I give you a little bit of folly. Now, can you imagine this man being foolish or light or silly? Here he is saying, please tolerate me. Please just stand there and tolerate me for a little bit. Paul, surely you're not going to be foolish. The word means nonsense. While I speak a bit of nonsense. Can you imagine Paul speaking foolishness or nonsense? I can't. And do you know what I believe this means? He was actually saying to them, I shouldn't have to say this. I shouldn't have to speak to you in this way. I shouldn't even have to deal with these things. I'm going to say certain things I should not have to say to you. You shouldn't have to hear these. Saints, there's many things and many good preachers and pastors and leaders and men gifted of the Holy Spirit. They felt like Paul all through the years. I shouldn't have to say these things. It should be elementary. And yet often I feel as a preacher I have to say, and don't think I'm bringing a rod this morning, I'm not. But often I have to say, have you heard anything? Do I have to repeat myself? Do I have to deal with basic things? Haven't you learned anything in the preaching? You see, that's what Paul is saying here. Look, just bear with me, and I'm going to speak things to you. I shouldn't have to say them. They're so basic, they ought to impact your life, but they're not impacting your life. I'm actually in fear of you. I'm concerned about you. So here the apostle begins by saying, bear with me in my folly. Do you know he uses the word bear 3 times in the verses we read? These first 4 verses, he uses it 3 times. 3 times in the first verse. Tolerate me. Put up with me. Listen to me. Even though you're yawning, shaking your head, or saying, oh, sure, I know that. Just stand there and listen a little bit. Open your ears, open your eyes, open your heart to me. After all, I did preach the gospel to you. But you know, there's a 3rd time it's used at the end of verse 4, and he speaks about it in another way. He says, twice, will you bear with me? Will you tolerate me? Because if you don't, then in verse 4 he says, you might well bear with them. So if you don't tolerate me, you'll probably tolerate them. If you don't tolerate me as a preacher, if you don't actually stand and listen, if you don't make yourself to hear what's being preached, if you don't put up with what is being preached, if you don't have an open heart to it, you are going to listen to other certain men, and you're going to tolerate them. And they're false preachers and they're false apostles and they're going to deceive you. So if you don't tolerate me, if you become impatient with this gospel and this preaching, you are actually in serious danger of tolerating other men which are going to do you serious harm. That's what Paul's saying. My message is a chaste bride. And that's what Paul was preaching here. This is what he was speaking about in his little bit of folly. Please tolerate me for a few moments. Please stand still for a few moments. Please put up with my silliness for a few moments. What was he talking about? The bride of Christ, the chaste virgin. He goes on to say here, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. Notice he says, what he says here, I am jealous, I have espoused, I may present you. Paul's talking about his ministry in that church at Corinth. He says, I am jealous over you. I have a jealousy as the bride of Jesus Christ. I have this burning fire. Do you know what jealousy is? It's a fire. It's envy. It's jealousy. Jealousy is, I don't want you to act like that. That's what jealousy is. Jealousy is, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like how you're thinking. I don't like how you're conducting yourself. That's what jealousy is. And he says, I am jealous over you, the church. You know, a preacher who isn't jealous, who doesn't have a fire burning, there's something wrong with that man. Yes. A preacher who can preach nice sermons and go out and care less and say, sure, you just live your life. He's not much of a preacher. A real preacher says, I know you're the bride of Christ. I am jealous. I have a fire burning in me. It's over you. I'm concerned about you. I care about you. I desire something for you. But notice it's not normal jealousy. You see, jealousy can be sinful. Jealousy can be destructive. Jealousy can steal from you. Jealousy can be the most dangerous fleshly thing on the face of the earth. That's why he says, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. You better make sure your jealousy is godly. Every preacher better make sure his jealousy for the church is godly. See, some men are jealous about a pulpit. That's what they're jealous for. Are jealous about their reputation. Are jealous about being known as something. Are jealous about the money. Are jealous about their title. I'm going to tell you, I'm not jealous about those things. I could care less about those things. But you know what I'm jealous about? It's your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. I am jealous for you here this morning. There's a fire burning in me. It actually burns within me. I am concerned for you. And it's a godly jealousy. It's not a fleshly jealousy. Make sure jealousy is godly. In other words, it's right with the Word of God. It's a pure jealousy. It's not fleshly. And I tell you, the flesh is jealous. Jealousy is sin against God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Unless it's pure and godly and guarded by the Word of God, you better be very careful. You see, fleshly jealousy, you can't control it. It drives you. But a godly jealousy comes out of prayer, comes out of meditation on the Word. It's actually constructive and not destructive. That's what jealousy is. Look at this heart within Paul. He is jealous for the church at Corinth. And notice two statements he makes. He makes one that's past and one that's future. I have espoused that I may present you. Notice those two terms. One is past, one is future. You, the church, I have espoused you to Christ. It's past. I have already done it. I have actually, you as a church, I have espoused you as a preacher. I have espoused you to one husband, even Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to be espoused as a church? It means to be engaged or given in marriage or committed to a perpetual marriage. That's what it actually means. How do you enter into this engagement with Christ? It's through conversion, being born again. Are you born again? Have you been saved by God's grace? You're not the bride of Christ yet. You've got to be in a church. You know all these people who wander about from church to church, they never are faithful in the house of God. They are not the bride of Christ. They may be saved, but they're not the bride of Christ. Because until you are part of a church, established in a church, you cannot be the bride of Christ. Neither can you be the Shulamite. Neither can you be a Proverbs 31 church. You see, you can't be the church by yourself. You can't be the bride of Christ by yourself. The bride is many people joined together with one heart for Jesus Christ. And Paul says, you that gather in Corinth, I have espoused you. It's already over. You're not trying to become engaged to Christ. You're not trying to come into a relationship with Christ. I espoused you like a father. I gave you to Christ, to this one man. Like a father who cares for you. I have prepared you. I have preached the gospel. You got born again. And now you're part of a church that is actually preparing for a day that is future. Notice the espousal is past. But there's something else that is future. He says, that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. That's why I'm jealous for you. I've already given you engagement. Can you imagine if I had a daughter? She was 18 or 19 years old. And actually, I am there and involved in this engagement. And she has been given an engagement to this young man. And he loves God and he desires God. And I know that there's a wedding date sent. And there's going to be a day of marriage. They're not playing around. They're not in a relationship just to try it out. She says, oh, I want to marry that young man. And I'm her father and she's still in my house because she hasn't been given in marriage yet. She is engaged. She is betrothed. She is preparing herself. Can you imagine? My daughter's in my house and she's calling all sorts of guys. And she's having dates with different guys. Monday night it's Billy. Tuesday night it's Patrick. Wednesday night it's Sean. Thursday night it's somebody else. Friday night somebody else. And Saturday night, well, I'll keep that for my beloved. I as the father, what do you think I'm going to accept that? Well, that wedding day, I can't wait for it. Oh, what a glorious day. But you know what? I'll see him Saturday night. I've got all these other guys to see in between. I, as your father, I'm going to be sitting you down and talking to you and saying, where are your priorities? Don't play games with this young man. Don't play with his emotions or his commitment. Don't tell me you're getting ready for a marriage day. You are playing with his feelings. You're playing with a relationship. And you know, I as the father would be going to the young man saying, son, don't you touch my daughter. You don't want to play games with her. You know what? She's got no interest in you. And yet the many churches are like that. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm getting ready for the marriage feast. Oh, we're betrothed to Christ. I'm married to Christ. I've got all the blessings. You're not acting like it. Is he first in your life? Does he dominate every decision? Do you love his word? Saints, I can tell. I have a jealousy within me. I'm watching your life. Yeah. There is a marriage day. You need to get ready. You need to live like you're getting ready for the marriage day. Yeah. And that's what Paul deals with. You know, he says earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, speaking about those in Corinth, he says, and such were some of you. What was he talking about? Some of you used to be sinners. And he gives a whole long list of sinners. Fornicators, sexually sleeping with different girls. Idolaters, you used to have your statues. Adulterers. In other words, you've got a wife, but you go and commit sex with someone else. Drunkards, you get drunk. You're covetous, you burn with a desire to make money. You're revilers, you quickly rebuke people. You're extortioners, you put pressure on people either to get money or to manipulate them with prophecies. You see, he gives a list of all of these types of people. And he said, such were some of you. Saints, I'm telling you about a chaste bride, the church at Corinth. Paul says you are to be a chaste virgin. I want to give you as a chaste virgin in the future. A chaste virgin, the church is to be a chaste virgin. What does that actually mean? To be presented. For Paul to stand there and say, Master Jesus, here is a chaste virgin. He's actually saying, as a preacher, I want to preach in such a way. I want to speak to you in such a way. I want to deal with you that one of these days in the future, I'm going to stand there as a proud father, presenting you as a chaste virgin. She's a virgin church. She's a holy church. She is a church that loves Jesus with all of her heart. I want to do that, saints. I want to, in Limerick, present unto Christ that is coming, a chaste virgin. You see, what is a chaste virgin? The men and women in this church weren't virgins. They'd messed up their sexuality. They lost their virginity. They messed with false religion. They'd blown it in a life of drunkenness and immorality. They'd done all of those things. And yet they're saved now. Paul says, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. You may not have been a virgin physically in your life, but I assure you, you can be a church that's a chaste virgin. Yeah. What is a virgin church? You're chaste, you're holy. And I want to define this morning what a chaste church looks like, because there's three keys to this. He goes further saying, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Notice this was the first female that God ever created. Eve was the first bride that God actually raised up and created himself. This is the first woman that was created of God to be a bride to another man. And she is a picture of the church. And here Paul says, I fear for you. Not only am I jealous, I'm scared about you. Brother, sister, I look at your attitude and your decisions and your conduct. I've listened and watched over the past year men and women who say, I love Jesus. Yeah, you love him better than ice cream. That's about the height of your love. Oh, Jesus is first in my life. No, preach to others and they're not right themselves. I've watched people all right. You see, Paul not only had a jealousy, he had a fear. I'm scared for you. Oh, Brother Keith, don't be scared. I've heard it all through the years. Oh, there's no reason. Just relax. It's all okay. Everything's fine. You don't need to be scared. Hey, Nehemiah, you don't need to see broken walls. You don't need to cry any tears. Jeremiah, the prophet, cheer up. Where's your joy? Jeremiah, just go with the flow. Jeremiah, stop your tears. Or what about Paul? Hey, Paul, relax. They're saved by God's grace. God's grace is so amazing. You don't need to be scared about me. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got my wedding garment. It's all grace, grace, grace. Paul, you don't need to fear for me. Relax. No, I won't be relaxing. Paul says, I am scared for you. Yeah. Oh, but there's people in the church. Yes, I know. There's people who are born again. I know. And yet Paul says, I am scared over you. Do you know why? Because I want to present you as a chaste virgin. But I'm actually worried. Do you know why? Because there's a real serpent. A real devil. And he's been on the earth 6,000 years. And you know what? The first bride, he seduced her. He deceived her. He lied to her. How did he do it? God gave his word to her. Hear me, I'm talking about the church. God gave his word to bride. You can eat of all the trees, but see that one there? Don't you touch it. One command. Don't you touch that. Here comes the devil in the guise of a serpent, an animal. An animal of the field. And says unto her, did God say? You better close that conversation right there. Did God say? You say, I don't mind you questioning me, but don't you question the Word of God. Yeah. As soon as you start down that avenue, you're in serious trouble. And I assure you who's speaking. It is the devil. Paul is scared for the Corinthians. They're his church. He's seen them saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. He'd done miracles. They had powerful meetings. All the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are there. The sick get healed. Prophecies are given. They all speak in tongues and worship in tongues. And yet he says, I'm scared for you. Hey, Paul, relax. We're just fine. We're in a Holy Ghost revival. I am scared for you.
Yeah, amen.
Because you know what? Just as the devil comes sneakily in the guise and said, did God say? And then he began to say, you will not die. Hey, you'll be fine. You'll be okay. You can do that. You can have that attitude. You can get angry and bitter and jealous. You can have all of that. You can get offended when you ought not to. But you'll be fine. Hey, that won't affect your walk with God. You see, this is what they were actually saying. And Paul says, I'm scared for you and I want to tell you why. There's a real devil. And you know what? That first bride, he deceived her. She was perfect. She had no sin nature. She was spotless. She had everything you could imagine. But you know what? She listened to a devil. She listened to the wrong message from the wrong person. Hey, it's okay. Didn't the serpent say he would make me wise? Do you want to be like God? Do you want to be wise like God? What if a preacher came like that? Hey, I want you to be wise. I'll preach the Bible to you. Isn't that good? He must be from God. Do you know what? I want you to be like God. That was the message of the serpent. I am scared for you. I'm scared for every genuine believer I know in this generation. What a dangerous hour. And listen, he says, so that your mind should be corrupted in the very same way from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is the danger. I'm dealing with your minds, your thinking, your ability to understand what I'm preaching and teaching. You see, if you don't bear with me, you'll bear with someone else. If you don't listen to me, you will listen to someone else. If you don't understand what I'm preaching week to week, then you will begin to go after something else. Paul says, so that your mind should be corrupted, destroyed, your understanding destroyed. Can that happen? Yes. The word means to wither up. And he says to be taken away. If your understanding begins to wither and get destroyed by the devil, you will actually get moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. That means sincerity. In other words, a single eye on Jesus. Everything is about Christ. And you're sincere in all that you do before him. See, there's lots who aren't sincere. They say, oh, I live for Jesus. I worship him. I'm right with him. I'm going to heaven. And yet when I hold the word of God up, why are you getting drunk? Why can you not give up your rollies? Why are you acting like the world? Why are you living like Jesus isn't coming back again? That's not sincere. You see, you might say, I'm very sincere. Okay, let's test it with the word of God. I'll test what you're doing, how you're acting, how you're living, how you're speaking. And we'll find out, oh, but I'm very sincere. No, you're not. It's not in line with this. You see, that's the sincerity of Christ, and it's within the word of God. Now hear me, as we come to this, I want to give you 3 points here. The 3 great attacks of Satan against the bride of Christ. 3 great attacks that will try to destroy your chaste virginity. It's not your past life of sin that destroys your virginity. It's these 3 things and what you do with them. In verse 4 it says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Yeah. Look down with me at verse 13. It says, for such are false apostles. Paul is saying here, if he that cometh unto you, the church, if other preachers come unto you, if you don't tolerate me, you will tolerate them. Hear me. And you Corinthians, you don't even understand the difference yet. After all this time, you still cannot hear the difference. You still cannot discern the difference. I'm scared for you because you could accept one as being the same as the other. You treat me as light and carnal and say, oh, that's Paul. And these other men, you say they're super apostles. I'm telling you what's in this chapter. And Paul says, I'm not a bit behind those super apostles that you talk about, super apostles. They're eloquent. Paul says, I'm untrained. You're saying I'm untrained. You're right, I'm. But not according to knowledge. I have knowledge. Oh, I'm not trained. I don't use great eloquence and overflowing words. I'm a simple preacher. But I do have knowledge, and the knowledge I have, I'm not trying to excite your emotions. I'm trying to deal with your heart and give you truth. You know, if a man jumps high enough, sweats a bit, shouts, does miracles, and we go, praise God, that's the Lord. You're deceived. Yeah. If that's how you discern. If you don't know any more than that, you're in serious trouble. And you know what? It's not those men, it's the devil. I'm telling you how the devil, he doesn't come in the guise of a serpent or a snake. Yeah. He doesn't do that. Do you know how he comes today? He come like that to Eve. Now he comes in the guise of, what does it say in verse 13? False apostles. Deceitful workers. Oh, they're doing a lot of work for God. Are they? Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers transform themselves as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. How do you discern a false apostle? By his works. Don't go by the miracles. Don't go by the crowds. Don't go by anything of that. Oh, do you feel the anointing? How does the anointing feel, by the way?
Right.
Yeah. I've heard it all through the years. Do you feel the anointing this meeting? Really? Can you give me a verse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody in the Bible talked like that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Nobody. Oh, but can you feel God here? Show me a verse. That isn't how you discern, or you can get badly deceived. Paul says, you know what? These apostles, they transform themselves. They disguise themselves. They look like apostles. It's not a serpent coming to you. It's not a snake rearing up and speaking to you. It's not the devil in that animal. No, it's the devil and men who say, I'm an apostle, super apostle. In fact, you can call me by my title. And you can put a lot of money in my bucket. I can assure you, saints, I'm telling you how the devil comes to the bride of Christ. And Paul's scared. He's going, man, I'm pulling out my hair. Don't you realize there's a difference? Yeah, well, Paul, you're not trained. God help us. You know, in this chapter, this is why Paul said, bear with me in my little bit of foolishness. Verse 7, he says, have I committed an offense, a crime against you, in abasing myself that I might be exalted? Because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? Have I done something against you because I didn't charge you? Or take money for you and I'm pouring myself out? Have I committed a crime? Is that why you think I'm not as good as them? Maybe that's it. I robbed other churches. I took money from other churches elsewhere in other nations in order that I could minister unto you. And you don't even think about it. God help you, you're in trouble. Verse 20, he actually goes on, he says, for you suffer if a man will bring you into bondage. Makes you a servant. Hey boy, you just sit there. Yes, sir, apostle. Since I have seen it with my own eyes. You allow them to bring you into bondage. If a man devour you, he takes your money. Do you know we worked out why so few come to our School of Christ conventions? We come across ministries in England. They charge you a fortune. You'd have to take a loan out just to get enough money to get to their convention. And you know what? We realized what it was. Most people won't come to our convention because we only charge you for food and accommodation. Just cover yourself. If you don't have the money, just come anyway. And we went, you know what? People thought that wasn't spiritual. God mustn't be there. I'm telling you what we've seen with their own eyes. But this super apostle, Mrs. Peggy apostle over here, who'll teach you a load of foolish tripe. Do you know what? She charges a fortune, thousands for a couple of days, and all the people crowd into the convention and they don't even hear the word of God. I'm telling you what's happening all across Britain, all across Africa, all across America. That's what's happening. We've seen it with our own eyes. Went, man, we should put a fortune on it. We'll charge you 6,000. They'll all be knocking at the door. You see, this is what Paul's saying. Bear with me in my foolishness. I'm saying I haven't done all these things to you. And you're treating me like some sort of man.
Yes.
Man, I'm the one who's presenting you to Christ as a chaste virgin. Now listen, these three things that he says here. These are the attack of false preachers against a chaste virgin. Number one, another Jesus. He says if these other men come preaching another Jesus, which we have not preached, you may well tolerate them and accept them and listen to them. This is the first great attack against the church. Notice here it says another Jesus. another spirit, another gospel. The word another there is important. And I'm not trying to be smart, but I want you to understand the Greek here. Three times in this verse he uses the word another, but it's not the same Greek word. The first time it's a different Greek word than the next two times. The first Greek word, another Jesus, is allos. And it means, remember when he says another comforter, I'm going away, but I'll send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, because he's like me. He's exactly like me. He's a duplicate of me. So this first word, another Jesus, means exactly the same, another of the exact same type. In other words, it's hard to tell the difference. Paul is saying here, I'm scared because these men who want to deceive you and steal the virginity of your church, they come preaching another Jesus. But you know what? He's a duplicate. He's molded carefully to look the same as this Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross. Oh, I believe that Jesus was God. I believe Jesus loved us. I believe Jesus was sinless. He was holy. I believe Jesus is coming back again. That's what they're saying. They're not talking about another Jesus that's different. The Mormon Jesus or the JW Jesus or the Catholic Jesus. Oh no. He said these apostles, the first great attack is they come with the Jesus say, I believe in being born again. I believe Jesus died for our sins. It's exactly like Paul's Jesus. Exactly the same. And I want to tell you that's dangerous. You are on dangerous ground when men who are not sent of Christ come preaching the same Christ. I believe he died and he buried and he was rose again. Hey, we preach the same Jesus. And that's what deceives many and say, oh, but he believes in the sinless birth, the virgin birth of Christ. They believe in his atonement on the cross. But Paul says the first great attack against the virgin church is men coming who say, we believe in the real Jesus. We believe in the Jesus you believe in. Look at him. He's exactly the same. But saints, Paul actually adds something. He says, whom we have not preached. They are preaching a Jesus who looks the same, but he is not the same. When you begin to look at what the apostles taught and what they teach, it's different. It's radically different. You see, you can have an academic Jesus, a Jesus of the mind. I believe he died for me. What effect does that have in your life? Don't tell me that you believe Jesus died for you. What effect does that have in your life? You see, Paul is warning of how close this is. You can have a Jesus of the mind, but not a Jesus of the heart. You can have a Jesus of the tongue. Everything you say is perfect. And yet your life contradicts it. These men who come, they preach truth about Jesus. They said you must be born again. He died for your sins. What they preached was true. But how they lived was error. That's the great danger. I want you to see that the Jesus of the Bible, the real Jesus is a word Bible. He is the word of God. If the Jesus doesn't agree with this, throw it out. You know, there's men on this high street and they preach the real Jesus to sinners that do. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. You need to repent. You need to be born again. Jesus is coming again. You can go to heaven. But you look at their life. They're not living for Jesus. Do you hear me? They'll get angry. They get bitter. They're not obeying the words of Jesus. They're preaching the real Jesus, but they're not living the real Jesus. And I want to warn you, if a man can preach the real Jesus, you're a fool to listen to him. If he's not living holy, if he isn't living right, if he isn't living according to his Jesus, you're a fool. And that's how a real church can lose its virginity. That people come in saying, I believe in the real Jesus. I preach the real Jesus. I want people to be saved. I tell them the gospel. But are you this? Are you this? Is it real in your life? This isn't some sort of thing we're trying to sell. It's the real Jesus. You see, if I find out a preacher goes home and beats his wife about the house, I ain't ever listening to him again. Amen. Do you hear me? This Bible actually says one of the qualifications of a church leader, if he beats people with a fist, including his wife, he's not fit for being the ministry in the church. I know in many African nations that's normal. In fact, it's expected. I was in Africa, I didn't realize I dropped a bombshell. It wasn't in my notes, I didn't mean to preach it. Preached it in South Africa and Kenya. And I tell you, that come with such power to me, I preached it. Afterwards said to Stephen, I need to ask you about that statement. It wasn't in my notes, I never even thought that thought before. But I preached, if a man beats his wife with his hand, he's not fit for a ministry. Stephen says, oh man, you dropped a bombshell. You don't realize that men do that. I says, that was the Holy Spirit, I know it. You see, I'm telling you, there is another Jesus. You need to be very careful that you don't blind yourself when a man comes in. Hey, I preach the doctrinal Jesus. Okay, how do you live? And if it's not the right spirit, and it's not the right gospel, it's not the right Jesus. Do you hear me? The Jesus could look real, but if it's not the real Holy Spirit, and it's not the real message of the gospel, chuck it out. Because it's a counterfeit Jesus trying to look at the real. Now, while the Jesus is like the real, secondly, this is the second attack against the chaste virgin, another spirit. Paul is saying, another spirit than you have received. This word, another, is the word heteros, heteros. And it means utterly different, heterosexual. What does that mean? One man, one woman. Since there's no two men's in this book, I can assure you. There's no two women together in this book, I can assure you. It's heterosexual. Two very different. She's not like me. I tell you, forgive me for my simplicity. We get married. I go, she's an utterly different creature to me. Men are not like women, and women are not like men. Not just in body, but in their thinking, their makeup. In their biological makeup, they're different. Now here Paul is saying another spirit. It means a different spirit, nothing like the real Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit I brought to you, the Holy Spirit who ministered in Corinth, the Holy Spirit of the Bible, these apostles come with a different Holy Spirit. Never has the Holy Spirit been more talked about in the church than this generation. Turn on the Christian television. The anointed. I'm anointed of God. People say, do you want to come to this meeting? The Holy Spirit moves there. How do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Yeah.
You see, Jesus said, I'm going away. Disciples, guys, I'm actually going away. I'm going to leave you. But I'm going to send another comforter exactly like me. The real Holy Spirit's like the real Jesus. He's a duplicate. He is absolutely like, if the Holy Spirit isn't like Jesus, he's not the real Holy Spirit. And Jesus actually said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send one exactly like me. And he says, I'm going to describe him so you'll know him when he arrives. See, if I say, next Sunday night, 7:00 here, I've got a friend coming just like me. He is 8 foot tall, 2 feet higher than me. He is built like a tank. He has red ginger hair, and it's a mess. And he's got a bushy beard, red hair. Now, Mark, I'm describing to you. He's 8 foot tall, built like a tank, bushy beard, red hair. And 8:00 next Sunday night, he's going to be standing on these steps, and I want you to meet him. And his name is Timothy. Okay? Okay, you turn up here next Sunday night at 8:00, and here's this man, 5 foot nothing. That's about that height. He's thin, black hair, clean shaven. And you go, who are you? I'm Timothy. Really? Yeah, I'm Timothy. Keith told me to meet you here. Really? Yeah, I mean, I'm Timothy. I know I'm meant to be here. And you begin to think, well, it must be the right. Maybe I didn't understand right. Maybe I didn't take the instructions down right. And many people do that with the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? When he comes, he will lead you into all truth. How do you know the real Holy Spirit? He'll lead you into the truth of the Bible. That is his great task. He says, I want to lead you into the Word of God. Some Christians that don't throw the Bible in the corner and don't even read it. Then you're in a famine and you're in a terrible state and your spiritual condition is terrible. And I fear for you today, if you don't even read your Bible, you've got the most precious book on the earth, and you say, I'm going to heaven and I know Jesus. I bet you do read things. I bet you do listen to hours of television. I bet you have time to work. I bet you have time to sit and talk with people. The real Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will lead you into the truth. He will not speak of himself. You know, in a meeting where they're all talking about the Holy Spirit, where's Jesus? When the Holy Spirit comes, he won't speak about himself. He'll speak about the man of Calvary. He'll speak about Jesus. That's how you know him. Do you know what his name is? Holy Spirit. Why is it people who receive Holy Spirit, they fall on the ground, they roll about, they laugh, they jump, they go and commit adultery? That is not the real Holy Spirit. If the real Holy Spirit was touching you, you would run from those things like a fire. I tell you, he is the Holy Spirit. He makes you holy. He brings you out of the world. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to evangelize to the mates over a beer. Really? I'm sure you witness. What do they do? Say, oh, we want to be like you. I'm sure. I've seen lots of Christian evangelism in pubs. An awful lot of it. Those guys look more like the world than the world does. You know, when I was in the army, I had a mate who done that. He had the real Holy Spirit, prophecies galore, manifestations. He used to roll on the floor, used to see miracles happen, everything. But the guys brought him back one night drunk in the back of the taxi. Said he ran after, told me, these soldiers, they're hard, cursing, swearing, immoral soldiers, and they brought him back. He couldn't even walk, and they had to put him into his bed. And you know what they done? They come to me and said, see him, he's not a real Christian. And they said, we don't like what you preach. We don't like what you live, but you are real. And we respect you. But see him, we've got no respect. He come to me 2 days later crying. And he says, I'm getting persecuted for my faith in Jesus Christ. They're persecuting me. Didn't have the heart to tell him, no, you're a scoundrel, you're a coward. You're living like the world and you're trying to say you need born again. What to be? Get drunk on our beer? Right. Run after our girls, lusting after them. And you're saying we need to be born again. You're going to heaven, but we're not. Right. Huh. That fills the charismatic Pentecostal church of our day. And I'm telling you, it's not the real Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? It's not the real Holy Spirit. But there's miracles. That must be the sign of the Holy Spirit. No.
No.
Didn't Jesus say in the last days false prophets would come and they would do signs and wonders and they would deceive many?
Yeah.
How do you know then? They're holy. The real Holy Spirit makes holy men. They won't beg for your money. See, any preacher starts begging for your money, press the button. If you don't, you're a fool and you deserve to be deceived.
Yeah.
If you listen to a preacher that stands in a pulpit, I'm telling you, if I was sitting in a meeting and all they done, they didn't do the Lord's table, they begged for your money, I'd be gone.
Yeah,
when's the last time you heard anyone begging for money? A rat in a bucket in front of your face here. You won't see it. Do you know why? We want this Christ. We want to meet around his table. I'm telling you about how the church loses her virginity through a Christ that seems like the real Christ, but he's not. Or through a Holy Spirit that seems like is radically different than the one Paul preached. But thirdly, another gospel. Paul is saying here, you as a chaste virgin, I want to present you to Christ. I want to give you as a holy virgin on your marriage day, on the wedding feast of the Lamb. I want you to be the bride of Christ. It hasn't happened yet. But you know what? I'm scared for you. I'm jealous over you. Because you might listen to another gospel. It's not the same as our gospel. Believe me, what I preach is not the same as what they preach down the road. I know there's other good Christians in this city. There's Christians in this city. I couldn't touch them. I admire them more than most Christians I've ever met in my life. And they're in this city. I've got a high regard. But I want to tell you, there's lots of people who preach in this city. They don't preach what I preach. Amen. And either I'm wrong or they're wrong. But it can't be both.
Yeah.
Maybe it's both of us are wrong. But I assure you, the both can't be right. Mm-hmm. That's an impossibility. Yeah. Paul says, I'm scared lest you accept another gospel. That you accept it. Deliberate action. You take it as real. You tolerate it. You put up with it. You should never put up with a false spirit, a false Christ, or another gospel. You don't tolerate it. You don't just sit there and say, well, I'll let it go on. You need to open your mouth and speak.
Yeah.
You need to do that.
Yeah.
The last thing, another gospel. What is the gospel? Because not all preach the real. It's got to be the real gospel. But Paul says they'll come unto you as a bride. They'll bring another gospel. Hey, just believe in Christ. Is that the gospel? No. Nowhere in the Bible do you get any preacher come and say, if you believe in Christ, you'll be saved. That isn't the gospel. Hey, just believe and it'll be fine. As long as you say a little sinner's prayer, you're born again. As long as you want to go to heaven, you'll go to heaven. That isn't the gospel. That is not the truth. You know, every one of them, Jesus, John the Baptist, Peter and Paul, all preach repent and believe. You see, if you don't repent of your sin, if you don't want to turn from your sin, you cannot have faith in Christ.
Yeah.
You can't suddenly miraculously believe on Him, but keep all your sin. That isn't the gospel. You see, how do you know another gospel? There's no repentance in it. There's no hell in it. There's no warning of a judgment day. There's no dealing with your sin. Jesus dealt with sin. Go sell all that you have and then come follow me. Oh, I want you to follow me. But you're covetous in your heart. You're a shrewd businessman. Oh, I want heaven. I know you do. Oh, but I want to know how to obey God. I know you do. Just one thing, businessman. Go sell everything that you have. Then come follow me. I don't want to do that. Then you're stuck. You're in trouble. You're up the river without a paddle. You're in serious danger of losing your soul. I'm telling you the gospel. Jesus didn't run after him. Hey, go get him. Make him a deacon in the church. We want his money. I don't want your money.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm after your soul. Real repentance. Yes. If you're not willing to part from your money, you can't follow me. It's the only man he said that to in the Bible. Nothing wrong with being rich. Or having a big house or a nice car. Nothing wrong with it at all. But I'm telling you, if Jesus deals with it and you're not willing to leave it, then you're a game player. You see, the real gospel calls for a changed life. You must be born again. It calls for obedience. It makes Jesus Christ Lord. There are some in this city center who preach. They say you can be born again. They seem to preach what I preach. But they say you don't have to make Jesus Lord when you get born again. They're on this street. And if you meet them, they'll say, I'm born again. You ask them their testimony and say, I got born again and I kept drinking and I kept the women and I kept the partying and getting drunk. And then a year later, but I was born again. Rubbish. I'm talking about a pastor in this city. I'm telling you about an evangelical pastor. And that's his testimony of what it is to be born again. That is not the real gospel. Saints, I am telling you, for 2,000 years, real preachers have preached like this, saying, I'm scared for you, I'm afraid for you, I'm worried about you. The gospel isn't psychology. We'll go back to your inner hurts. And what your mommy said to you, and what your daddy said, and we need to go back to your birth. Psychology is not the gospel.
Amen.
Ecumenism isn't the gospel. We'll all become one. No, we will not.
Right.
The sword of the Spirit divides. Or the prosperity gospel. That's not the gospel. God wants you rich. No, He doesn't. No, he doesn't. Or the Jewish roots gospel. We're going back to our Jewish roots. No, we're not. No, we're not. That's not the gospel. Do you know what? Judaism isn't the roots. It's a branch on the tree. Romans 11. Jesus is the root. Judaism is a branch. The church is a branch. But Jesus is our root. Do you know what? Israel is going to go back to their Jesus roots. We're not going back to our Jewish roots. We're not going to celebrate the Passover here. We're not going to wear skull caps or start saying Yeshua every time we pray. And I tell you, it's in your face in today's church. Yeshua bless you. Wise up.
Yeah.
Stop that foolishness.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's all through the church. What I'm telling you is that the gospel is going to be a true gospel. And the bride of Christ in this last generation, it's being hit by a false gospel, another spirit, and another Christ. It's everywhere. Men who say, I believe in his death, his resurrection. I believe he is God. I believe he had a sinless supernatural birth. I believe he's coming back again. But their gospel is all messed up. No repentance in it. No holiness or obedience in it. And the Holy Spirit, they use him as a magic trick. Oh, the Holy Spirit's come. He's so fun. Show me it in the Bible. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to be fun. I tell you, he brings real joy, real peace, real righteousness. But he's not here to entertain you and play games. Isn't it fun to have the Holy Spirit? No. Without the Holy Spirit, you go to hell. That's the real Holy Spirit. And Paul finishes in verse 4. You might well bear with them. You might tolerate them. You might put them up. That's why I'm scared for you as a church. That's why I'm jealous for you. That's why I'm on top of you with the Word of God. That's why I preach the truth undiluted. That's why I give you what the Bible says. Why? Because you are in danger. The entire church is, every member of it, is in danger of tolerating men who come with another gospel, another spirit, another Jesus, and you say they're Christians. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're deceivers. And you know what? They're trying to draw you away from a purity and a sincerity in Jesus Christ that only the true gospel gives. Pray with me here. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you preserve us, you protect us, that we, as a chaste virgin, we want to keep our virginity. Lord God, we may have lost it in this world in a life of sin, but my God, we want a virginity as a church. We want to be holy. We want a pure, Lord God, relationship with you. We want a real Christ. We want a real Holy Spirit. We want a real gospel. Saints, let's stand here. Let's not be silent. I'm dealing with your eternity. I tell you, let's learn to enter in when we pray together. We're not here, I'm not here to entertain you. Lay hold of God. Pray for yourself before we close this gathering. Stir up your own heart. Make yourself desperate. Say, oh God, do not leave me as I am. I need you. I need a life-changing experience with you.